And it's a very fitting end. One of the themes that we've been looking at, or one of the themes that undercuts the book, is the great love that Paul has for these Philippians. If you just flick back right to the beginning of the letter in chapter 1, he talks about, right at the beginning in verse 3, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." And that partnership, that the word koinonoa, fellowship, is something that we've looked at. It's the fellowship or partnership, not that says, let's go out down the pub and have a social together. That's great friendship. In fact, that can be really close friendship. But, and you'll see from the title that I've given in the handout, this is about gospel business, gospel fellowship. And as we've gone through the letter, we've seen something of what that fellowship, that partnership, looks like. And the foundation of it is the other person-centeredness of the Philippians and of Paul, which is grounded on the generosity of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remember, as we've been going through in chapter 2, we looked that the relationships with one another, chapter 2, verse 5, were to be having the same mindset of Christ Jesus. And so Jesus is the amazing example of God's generosity to his people. And then Paul, remember the sermon that I did on Epaphroditus, Paul very carefully, cleverly gives the examples of Timothy and Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, who was servant-hearted and tender-hearted and lion-hearted, he'd gone and he'd been with Paul. And so as we come to the end of the letter, remembering this is a very practical situation. We've said that this letter is like a thank you letter, Paul saying thank you to the Philippians. And so Paul here at the end of this letter is just tidying things up. As John said this morning as we were praying before, this is kind of putting a bow on the letter and then saying goodbye. And so we return to this idea of partnership in the gospel. "It was good of you to share," verse 14, "in my troubles. You know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only." The big underlying thing that I want to say this morning is this: Christians are generous people. That is a sign that someone is truly belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians are generous because they serve a generous God. One of the signs that they have been saved by God is that they are responding to the generosity of God. There is no such thing as a stingy Christian. It's an impossibility. Christians are generous. And so we have in this passage this morning, Paul just pulling those things together as he talks, as he speaks to the Philippians. And many commentators have noted that the language that Paul uses in this passage, giving and receiving, credited to your account, verse 18, full payment, amply supplied, gifts that I have received. This is the language of business. It's the language of a commerce. But Paul gives it a special, I suppose, Christian twist. This is not some cold, abstract business relationship that he has with the Philippians. It is a relationship of giving and receiving, but there are some surprises along the way. And these are the things that we want to look at this morning. So very quickly, what's the nature of this gospel business that Paul and the Philippians are involved with and that we are to be involved with as well, as we have partnership with one another in the gospel. The first is very clear, that it's very friendly. Look what Paul says. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving. Very rarely does Paul address the recipients of the letter with a name. He does it occasionally. He talks about you foolish Galatians. He talks about the Corinthians, but it's quite unusual. But here he's saying, you Philippians, you people of Philippians, you can tell that there's a real heartfelt sense here. There's great warmth and there's great friendship here. And that this giving and receiving between Paul and the Philippians has happened for a long time. It's not just one gift, remember? They sent Epaphroditus to look after Paul or give him a gift. We don't actually know what that gift is. It probably was financial. It was material. But there's so much more going on here. Those gifts are a kind of a sign or a seal of their friendship and their love for each other in the gospel. And it's only the Philippian church that have been engaged in that long-term giving and receiving. Look, verse 15. Not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Gospel business is not a cold transaction between people. It's one of friendship and love and perseverance. It's giving and keeping on giving. You can never think, well, I've done my bit now, I've done my giving and that's it. No, it perseveres, just as the Philippians did. Then notice that it's free. It's friendly, but it's free. What do I mean by that? Well, John picked up on a little bit last week when Paul was talking about being contented. And here he kind of comes back to it. Verse 17. So Paul says, like, I thank you for your gift. Verse 17, not that I desire your gifts. And you think, oh, Paul, you're being so kind of strange about it. It's almost as if Paul's saying, I didn't really need your gift, but thanks for it anyway. You think, how ungrateful. But that's not the sense that Paul says. It's linked to what John was saying last night. That Paul can say that I am content in everything. I don't need anything else apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he's still thankful for the gifts that have been received. Why do you think Paul's saying that? Because the giving and receiving between these brothers and sisters and Paul, it's not the giving and receiving of business where basically sometimes goes on the idea that I'm going to do something for you, John, but I'm then expecting you to do something for me. That's a lot of how human transaction works, isn't it? I do something for you, and I then expect at some point I'm going to come back and John's going to say, do you remember when you did that thing for me? Can you do something for me now? That's not the giving and receiving that Christians are involved with. We don't give, necessarily expect anything back, and we shouldn't. Paul wanted to be free from that. He didn't want to be under obligation from the Philippians. So I think that's why he makes it very clear. Perhaps people were saying that. Perhaps people were saying, well, you know, Paul is receiving these gifts and now he's going to have to give something back. But Paul's saying, no, I don't desire your gifts. Incredibly, though, and this is the little first twist that we see, Paul does desire something. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. And we'll come on to that shortly. So this relationship is friendly, it's free, and it's full. Let's look at that bit again. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. This is Paul the pastor. In some ways, Paul, he's thankful for the gift that he's been given. We don't know again what it is. It could be financial. It could be material. He's in prison. Epaphroditus has come. He said that I now have enough. But what Paul is really interested in is not the gift. It's what the gift shows. And what Paul desires is that more be credited to the Philippians' account. Well, what could be credited to their account? They've given something out. What have they received? Well, Paul tells us, I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied, for now I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Paul is saying this. These gifts that you've given, very material things, you've sent Epaphroditus with these gifts. You sent Epaphroditus himself with the gifts. In giving those gifts to Paul, Paul recognizes something in the Philippians. And that gift has been a spiritual act of worship, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice to God. It's something that the Philippians would have understood. It comes from the Old Testament. If you remember the story of Noah, when Noah comes out of the ark, what's the first thing that he does? He offers up a thank offering to God, and God smells the sacrifice. Now, God doesn't have a nose to smell. It's that language is to help us to say that God was delighted to see the grateful response of Noah. And so Paul is saying, in receiving these gifts from the Philippians, that has delighted God. It's a fragrant offering. It's a spiritual act of worship. The giving of gifts towards gospel business is a delight to God, and he smells it in his nostrils and he says, wow, I'm delighted with that. Isn't that an impetus for us to give? Isn't that an impetus for us to get involved with gospel business, that we would be able to delight the Lord? And it's not super spiritual stuff. These were very practical gifts brought by Epaphroditus. And Paul is saying, thanks for the gift, but do you know what I'm really pleased about? I'm pleased what this shows about your giving, your heart, your act of worship, your generosity. God has been generous, and so they are generous. Kent Hughes in this passage says this, and this has stuck with me all week. The only money you will ever see again is the money that you give to gospel work. We can't take anything with us. The Bible makes that clear. We can't take anything material with us when we die. But the money we will see again is the money that we give. Whatever we give up, we will regain. That is the giving and receiving. That is the gospel business. So there's an incredibly friendly relationship. There's the freedom to give and not expect anything back. There's the fragrant and full worship that we see, that God is delighted. And then here's the most amazing thing, I think. Verse 19. And God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Paul makes this amazing promise. He says this, the more you give in this gospel business, the more you give, the more blessing you will receive back. You think, That's no business that I've ever heard of. What, you mean the more that I give, the more that I will receive blessing from? That's what Paul's saying. And my God will meet your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. This is a promise that Paul is making. But notice it's a promise only for those who have been generous. If you are not generous, this promise is not for you. It's only based on generous Christians who give. In fact, this whole passage flows from the generosity of the Philippians. Let's look at it. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Now, we need to be very careful how we understand that. God will meet all my needs. Is this endorsing kind of the prosperity gospel? Of course it's not. We had this last week from John in terms of what are the things that we would like, but what are the things that we need? But these things are according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. What are the needs? What are those things that we need from God in our giving? Well, I think we need to tie them very closely to what we've seen in the book of Philippians. I think what Paul is saying is that all of the things that I have been speaking about and praying about for you Philippians, when you are generous, when you are give, I know that my God will supply you those things and give you those things so that you can be more generous. There's an amazing cycle here. God has been generous in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are generous to others, and then God blesses us with his amazing generosity, and that cycle continues. Let's look at some examples. Come with me, come back with me. And we're just going to find, as we go through the book of Philippians, these are the things which I think are the needs that God will supply. Chapter 1, verse 9. Paul says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depths of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and mind. 2, verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. 3, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord. 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. 4, verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I think these are the things, these kinds of things are the things that Paul now says that God will meet those needs. Well, how is God going to meet them? Has God got these things to give? Well, of course he has, because he is the author of all of these good gifts. God will meet your needs according to the riches of his glory. God has an everlasting abundant supply of things to give. God never runs out. When God gives, it's not as if God says, oh, actually, I gave it to John. I haven't got enough for anyone else. This is God. It's abundant. It's limitless. He's just giving and giving and giving with his generosity. All of those things for those who are generous. So God will meet our needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And this just does put the bow on it, I think. Remember, Paul is in a prison 800 miles away. He's writing to the Philippian church. And yet there is a unity that Paul and the Philippians share in Christ, which means that they're basically in the same place. They're so related. Paul is in Christ, the Philippians are in Christ, And that's why they have this incredible bond together. This is why partnership and fellowship, this is why church fellowship is not simply a club of people who come together on a Sunday and have like-minded interests. We are united together. We have the closest bond because I am in Christ, and those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in Christ. This isn't just friendship. This is family. And so here we have this amazing picture, this cycle or circle of generosity. And I think Paul is so overcome by this at the end of the letter, he can't do anything other than just blurt out praise. Verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever and ever. A few questions as we finish to think about. Do we see that cycle of generosity here at East Finchley? Yeah, we know and we pray and we sing, we can know that God has been so generous to us. Are we showing other people that generosity? Do we have that gospel business? Are we focused in that way? Are we willing to give towards gospel business? Spiritually, financially, materially? We often say that the role that John has and that I have as elders and John as the pastor is our job is to make the body self-grow. We said this on Wednesday. It's not as if you are watching a performance that goes on in church. You are part of the team. You are the team. And our job, we're a bit like, you know, the England football management. Our job is to get you guys playing well. You're not spectators, you're on the pitch. And in some senses, what Paul is saying here is that John and I can do nothing more for you than allowing you to be generous and serve. When we allow you to give, you are being blessed. Because all those things that Paul has promised for generous people, you will receive back. God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Sometimes, and again, we probably fall into this trap, so I can't speak for John, I'll speak to me. Asking people to serve, sometimes we do it quite apologetically. But we shouldn't be doing that at all. We should be saying, I've got something great, Aris, for you to do, and this will bless you. We need you to serve. Is that our attitude? I'm not sure it always is. We are to be in the gospel business together, and this cycle of generosity will grow and grow, and people will see that from the outside. I do think this is one of the fruits of being shining like stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life. People think, wow, there's something amazing about the relationships that these people have at East Finchley. Their generosity points to the amazing generosity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a few moments. Let's just think about that in our own lives, in our lives with other people, in our relationships. Let's think, how do we do better gospel business together as we finish this letter to the Philippians? Let's spend a few moments in quiet and then I'll pray. Oh Lord, your generosity is boundless and limitless and extravagant. Lord, you have given your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to us, and that we can know him, and through his death and resurrection we have been united to him. And so we now as Christians have the closest bond with each other. Lord, we pray that we would be Christians who would do gospel business together. that this would be a family business. Lord, that we would recognize that our response, our generosity to your generosity, is a fragrant offering, that you are delighted by it, that that's what you are pleased about. And Lord, that as a church, that we would enable each other to be able to serve each other. Lord, we thank you for that promise that Paul says, that when we are generous, you will meet all of our needs. Those needs that have been recorded throughout the book of Philippians, that we will receive joy, that we won't be anxious about everything or anything. Lord, we pray that we would be wise in our giving. We would be good stewards of the gifts that you have given us, and that they would be recycled in this church and beyond. Lord, that we would have that gospel mindset. And Lord, we just long for just something of the of that relationship that Paul had to this church, the love that he had for them, the love that they had for him. Lord, would that be the love amongst us, and based on the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? And we pray these things in his name. Amen.